Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. I don't use the word super excited too much, but today I am super excited. We have a returning social media expert and Helium 10's very own Cassandra Craven. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the difference between influencers and content creators. So I can't wait to talk. This is one of my favorite topics, by the way. But before that, we're living to you right now. We're broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Now, where is my son? There he is.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. You got me a little nervous there. It took a microsecond to, you know, click in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going into the fetal position.
Yeah, I was writing something down with my little
Well, thanks for not paying attention. All right.
Is this how it's going to be today?
Maybe. Hey, it's going to be a weird day, just like the election. Man. So that's enough. I'm not getting into politics. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. What do we do?
All right. Like us on social media. Hit that or smash that like button.
Hold it.
Ring smash that bell. It. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Just search Lunch with Norm, Norm Farrar, anything, and you'll find us. We should think we're taking over those searches. But yeah, we are an official podcast, so you can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find Lunch with Norm. And yeah, like and share. If you're joining us today, you can let us know where you're watching from. We'd love to know. Or let us know what you're doing next weekend, or, you know, just have a conversation with us.
There we go. And yeah, and you're a nice person to have a conversation with.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Okay. So if you do have any questions or if you have any comments, throw them over into the comments section and we will get to them during the episode. If we can't get to them, we will definitely answer them later on. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. And Cassandra.
Hi, Norm. Oh my God. How are you?
I am doing awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here, Orange County, California, US of A, and we're still waiting on results. So it's an exciting time.
It's a very exciting, I don't know if they're going to happen today. Maybe next week we'll talk about it.
Oh my, that's a whole nother hot topic.
Very hot. And for social media, by the way.
Yes, I actually was going to pitch that idea to you, but then I thought, you know what, let's just not. Let's just see how this unfolds.
In case someone doesn't know you, could you give us just a little bit of background about yourself?
Of course, Norm. I am Cassandra Craven, Helium 10 social media manager. I've worked in film, television, advertising, and now I am bringing you all things social media at Helium 10 social media networks. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. Find us anywhere. More to come. Recent winner of Seller Poll 2020 for the best YouTube channel among many more, software company, podcast, you know, just little things like that. But yes, I'm happy to be here.
And just in case you didn't hear it, you work at Helium 10, right?
I do. I work at Helium 10. Yes. I'm obligated to say that a certain amount of times.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, it's actually kind of fitting for today's topic because we are going to be talking about influencers, but brand ambassador. I mean, if I think, and Helium 10 is not a sponsor, I don't have any affiliates, but, you know, being able to get out there and having the Helium 10 t-shirt on, mentioning it, you know, just that is a brand ambassador, you know, a person that lives the brand. And it's kind of interesting because it fits right into what we're talking about today.
I bleed blue. Yes.
Yes, you do.
No, well, and I've given away all my other wardrobe. I only own Helium 10 merchandise. That's just, you know, par for the course. That's just par for the course.
You know, this is going to sound really, really corny, but I was coming down the stairs and all of a sudden this song came into my head and I was thinking about Cassandra Craven and it was like, the Candyman came on. Who can make the sunshine?
Can that be my theme song? Should I?
There we go. We'll just change it to woman, and it's all about you.
Oh my God, Norm, I love that. Thank you so. That's made my day. Just so you know, I get energized when we do these. It's my favorite. It's my favorite part of you know, the week is when I get to talk to you.
Oh, that's awesome, and vice versa. Oh. So, look, let's talk about something that we're hearing more and more about, but I don't think people are doing it. A lot of people are doing it effectively or efficiently, but that's the topic of influencer marketing.
Yep.
Can we just go over a little bit about what does an influencer do?
So influencer marketing is actually one of my favorite aspects of social media. It's something that kind of fell into my lap, though, originally. So I started doing social media marketing, and influencers just kind of became a phenomenon around 2015. I remember starting to work 2014, 2015, starting to work with them. And I think that also had to do with the rise of Instagram in popularity. So really, it's kind of lifestyle marketing, people with large followings, social followings, credibility, and how it fits into their brand and their brand image. And they put their your products into their lifestyle imagery on social media, essentially. So that's how they market your products. It's usually either a content swap or there's some sort of payment exchange for doing so contractually or on a freelance basis. But really, it can be effective if you're tapping into the right niches, tapping into the right hashtags, locations, audiences, demographics, things like that.
Now, I think it's important, too, that when you're picking an influencer, that you know the type of influencer that you're looking at, because depending on your reach, depending on your money, depending on just engagement. I mean, we can start at a nano influencer, go to a micro, go to a mega, go to, you know, the big celebrity. Anyways, there's four or five different levels. And, you know, one of the things that I find is that if people always hear about the Kanye West, the Kardashians, and spending bucks, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you with one of the businesses that I have, we had we paid big bucks for this one YouTube video with the product in the background, and it was a lot of money, got nothing, got 15 sales. Started looking at nano influencers, and these are people that have very few followers. And it depends on the social media you look at. Like a nano influencer defined on Instagram is different than TikTok, but for me, I don't know about you, but a nano influencer, micro influencer kind of go 1 to 10,000 followers, 10,000, 100,000 followers. Do you agree
Correct.
With that?
Correct. Yes, definitely. So, put the words right out of my mouth.
And with the nano influencers, do you work with nano influencers, or do you like the bigger influencers with more following?
You know, I do a wide range and variety, especially just even in my past careers and other companies I've worked with, because really different levels and tiers, they each serve a different purpose. Yeah, of course, working with a Kylie Jenner or Kim Kardashian is a huge power play and is going to get you probably a lot of engagement, a lot of eyes on your product, but it may not necessarily convert into the conversions that you want or the sales you want or the awareness that you're looking for. Whereas if you work with smaller influencers, nano, micro, as you mentioned, that is a smaller community and a smaller trusted community. So people usually know those influencers either personally or they've met them at one point at an event, things like that. So they're really trusted. Their word is trusted. Their reviews are trusted. And you're more likely to get a conversion off a smaller influencer just because of that smaller niche category. It's someone they know. It's someone that they have this relationship with, whether it be on or off social media. And that can really result in some higher increases for sales.
Yeah, and another point is engagement, higher engagement.
Of course, yeah. Definitely. Because it can be, again, it's, you know, you see these people with, you know, millions of followers, but if you go back and look, if the product isn't resonating with that audience, you're not going to get the engagement that you want. But if the micro influencer you're working with, if you're in a beauty category and their niche is beauty, then of course you're going to get a higher engagement because that's what the audience is coming to their page for. That's what they look to this influencer for, are beauty recommendations, things like that. Whereas if you just find, you know, a hardware salesman or something, you know, it's like, that's just not going to result in what you want.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is you can recruit them very quickly rather than trying to get the attention of a pro athlete or a celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
They might not even look at you, just trying to get their attention, right? It's tough.
Oh, definitely.
You could reach out to smaller influencers and, you know, get them talking about, and they're excited about your product.
Oh yeah, it's definitely more of a grassroots approach. You can, you know, slide in the DMs, as I always say. Look for them through hashtags, geotags, categories. You can find them through similar influencers, similar accounts on Instagram, TikTok, things like that. But that's going to be more of a grassroots approach. And like you said, if they're not as active in doing that before, they may be more receptive to working with you because it just leverages up their brand as well and their credibility. Show, you know, kind of a content swap, showing credibility, showing how, hey, these brands want to work with me. This is me kind of coming up on my branding, my marketing. And then it works out well for you because you're getting to tap into their communities for engagement, sales, conversions, and overall awareness for your products.
When you're talking about a content swap, for Amazon sellers that don't know that, what do you mean by that?
So I think it can really be a variety of things. So either if they're taking photos for you with your product, you can then repurpose it for your social media accounts. You can say, hey, we'll leverage this on our accounts as well. If you're willing to make a video for us, if you're willing to make a TikTok, an Instagram reel, things like that, especially long form content. If you go over to YouTube and they want to do a demo or a tutorial or a testimonial, that kind of stuff, you can swap with them and say, hey, we're happy to highlight this on our channels as well. Tag you, tag your links, put your website in there, whatever you want to do cross promotion. So there are a variety of ways to work with it. It's kind of, you know, model photographer, you know, the photographer needs a model, the model needs a photographer. You got to work together to get the content you need for each other and how you can work together.
Do you need to do this right from the start?
I would recommend about 6 months into your journey, if you will, seeing how things are working on your social media channels in general. It's always good to have kind of your ear to that community, kind of keep a lookout for what your product is and who you can tap into. And sometimes it's not that obvious. So if you have an eco-friendly product that can dive into so many other subcategories for influencers and content creators, there's always a lot of mommy bloggers that are receptive to those things, depending on your product. If it's a pet product, there's pet owners, pet activists, pet advocates. There's so many, not only the higher level categories, but those subcategories of influencers that you can tap into. So really get your niche going and your flow of content creation on social media, and then see the direction you want to take that in for your product, for your awareness and engagement. And that's when I would recommend start tapping into influencers and seeing who you can work with, who you can collaborate with, whether it's a one-off, a freelance job, or if you want to do a long-term collaboration. You know, maybe this is a person who takes your product throughout Q4 and shows how it's viable throughout the holiday season. Or if it's more of a summertime product, maybe they are posting regularly throughout, you know, June, July, August, showcasing your pool supplies or floaties or things like that. It's really about the duration that you need it for, and also what's in your means in terms of budgets or content. And you have to really work with the influencers back and forth on that.
So let's go back to the very beginning. I am new to Amazon, or maybe I am a little bit worried about reaching out to influencers. I've never done it before. What would be the very first thing to do?
Okay. So from my experience, this is why having your social media channels in check and really curated properly is very important, because when you reach out to an influencer, the first thing they're going to do is go back to your social media channels and check you out. They're going to say like, hey, do I want to collaborate with this person? What are they all about? What are they advocating for? What is their platform, essentially? What is their product? What are they talking about? Is this something that fits in with my lifestyle, my branding, my my public persona, my image. So definitely you want to make sure that your social media channels, your website, your product listings, your Amazon listing, everything is on point so that when people come to want to collaborate with you, they know exactly what they're getting into and what you're all about. From there, I would also state what you're looking for, what you're hoping to achieve. I wouldn't even really get into budgets or financial dealings or content or anything. It's more of a, hey, I really want to work with you. You seem to fit my category very well. How can we talk further offline, whether that be via email, a Zoom call, a phone call, and then really talk about what you're looking for, what your needs are, and what they would like to get out of the deal as well.
One of the mistakes that I've seen with some Amazon sellers, it's not so much when you're when you first get on board, but it's when you get to the intermediate to high level sales where you might have a bit more ego. And what ends up happening is you don't leave your ego at the door, and people will just people will almost demand that follower or the influencers work with them. And nothing is better to turn off a influencer than the ego. It's stroking their ego, right?
Correct. Exactly. I mean, again, yes, we all, you know, we're entrepreneurs, we're dealing, we have our own set of expectations within our own head, but so do these influencers, so do content creators. And more so, they're learning the value of what their branding can achieve for your business. So they are not ignorant to the fact that this could really take your business to the next level. This could garner more attention, more engagement, more awareness, as you had mentioned. So you kind of want to play into their ego and how your business can benefit them and how you would like to work with them. In a way, they're the pseudo celebrity. You know, you gotta be the PR maven and come in there and stroke that ego and talk to them about what they're doing well, what they're known for, how your audience can resonate with them, and why you would like to collaborate.
And I'd like to add, you have to have a similar personality, either your brand or, you know, just you and the influencer. I think that helps a lot too.
Agree. And I agreed. I mentioned, you know, 2014, 2015 is when I started working with influencers, and it really does take a personality to reach out to people in general. You know, way long before Norm, I did work in customer service and retail. So I kind of way before Helium 10 and Hollywood. So I kind of already knew how to, like, you have that conversational aspect, you have to be approachable. And you really want to tap into how you can talk, you know, align yourself with this person and what they're looking for. When I worked in Georgia, actually, I worked with a lot of television bloggers, fashion bloggers, and I would have them come and do set visits on the set of Paternity Court and all the court shows I worked with. And really, they got, you know, such an inside look at not only the show itself, it leveraged their brand because they're invited to an exclusive event, an exclusive taping. They got to do a meet and greet. So really, it's kind of, hey, you get to benefit with this, and who else can be this connection for you? And you need to think of it that way for your product as well. You know, how can you leverage my product to leverage your brand and up your game, if you will? So really giving them something exclusive, whether that's a free product or, like I mentioned, a content swap. So you really kind of have to cater to their needs and see how you can be that liaison to them to bridge the gap.
So one of the things that you taught me on the very first podcast is I have to stop in the middle and give some shout outs. So that's what we're going to do right now.
Let's
Kelsey, because of my poor eyesight, let's give some shout outs.
All right. We got tons of people.
Awesome.
They love you, Cassandra.
Everybody loves Cassandra.
We got Timmy back.
My ego. Okay, go ahead, Kelsey.
All right, we got Timmy back. He's one of our viewers on LinkedIn.
Great to see Timmy back.
He loves to pop in. We love to see him. We got Kara. So she's lots of lovely influencers supporting her brand. Kara. Yalchin, he has a question for us that I'll talk.
Okay.
I'll tell you later on.
Great.
Same with Tony. Karen, I don't know if you saw Cassandra. You are such a genius, Cassandra. This is pure gold you're sharing. We have Dr. Cause with another question.
Karen's awesome.
Karen's the best. She's so cool.
And we have Abdul. He's saying that you guys are explaining very well and choosing simple words. Great job. And we got Yarrow. Yarrow is back. He was actually a winner of one of our Lunch with Norm giveaways.
just recently.
So we got lots. So if you're watching, come say hi, put it in the comments, we'll throw you up and we'll talk about you.
I'm trying to format.
Yes, thank you all for this is great. We're trying to build a community that engages not only during the podcast, but in the group. And it's all about you. That's why we're doing this. So Kelsey, you said there was a couple of questions. What are they?
Yes. Okay. So let me see. Actually, we have one in the script. It's from Marina.
All right. Yep.
Here, just a second. Standing by.
You guys are so fun. I love this, by the way. Just so you guys know, you're such a dream team.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
All right. From Marina. You. This is actually from the Facebook group. So we have a brand new Facebook group where you can put your questions ahead of time. So this is from Marina.
Okay.
How do you decide how to compensate influencers? Is there a guideline, a certain amount of money per 1,000 of followers? Is there a video review per post? So what are your thoughts?
So I would say there's a lot of resources out there that you can just Google and see, like templates or contractual templates that you can work with and take the cues from there. Again, it's really about your budgets, your needs, what you're looking for, depending on the followers of the influencer and what they can bring to the table, as well as what you can bring to the table for them. So once you kind of flush out all of those details, I would really look to HubSpot. Sprout Social has a lot of great resources. There's a few influencer databases that are also really helpful with that sort of thing. Some of them are pricey, but they kind of vary with tiers. So they can also help you leverage with what you're getting into, how to negotiate, and just knowing what the influencer's costs are up front. So before you even have to get into haggling or negotiating, a lot of times influencers are like, these are my rates depending on their tier. And usually that's where you go to mid or upper level tiers. They already have a pricing plan laid out of for X amount of posts, I charge this much. If you want me to do a video, I charge this much. One thing that I think is really great, if you do go and use a third party database for influencer relations, they can also, because they're contractually obligated through that third party, there's a clause that you can have your content on their page for an X amount of days, that they cannot hide it, they can't archive it, they can't remove it. You know, it's not just like a one and done of like, oh, I posted it, you know, pay me, and then it's gone in, you know, an hour. They're contractually obligated to keep that post up there for a week, a month, a quarter, however long that you want that available and visible on their pages. So definitely look into third-party databases, as well as there's Later Media. Isaiah is a great one. Clear with a K is a great one. So check those out. Those can be a little pricey, but also there's grassroots approaches that you can just Google templates, go to Sprout Social, HubSpot, things like that, Digital Marketer, and they have some great resources for you.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more I could add. Thomason is another database that you can use, and they've got about 100,000 influencers. Then you've got IntelliFluence, which is another one. BuzzSumo, it costs a bit more than the rest, but BuzzSumo is very good. But there's also, these are two databases. One is free that people don't think about, is going out to Haro and just trying to recruit there free.
Nice. You're giving me a run for my money.
Well, you know, but it's my business. So, but the other one, I mean, if you're a medium to more advanced seller, take a look at Cision's database. It's the biggest one in the world, but it's mega bucks. It's anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a year. But what can you get from that is incredible. I'd also like to add Cassandra.
Yes.
Fake. Like sometimes you are looking at influencers, and if you're investigating, and they're saying they have 2 million followers, a lot of these people are fake. And, do you have any insight on how to tell a fake influencer from their profile?
if you're a novice, the first thing you're going to want to do is look at the follower to engagement ratio. I think that is the simplest way to take a look at it. And if it is just off, you, even if you're not a social media expert, you don't have to be an influencer expert to know if someone has 5 million followers and 30 likes that something is not right here. for both. If you just start looking through it and you're like, well, where's the engagement? A lot of other times you can see the comment section, and usually a dead giveaway is a profile-less image, you know, where it's just the silhouette of somebody, or it's just, you can tell if it seems robotic, if it seems spammy, if their comments don't seem genuine or organic. It really doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure that out. Other times, you know, it can be a little trickier, but that's where I think you need to dive a little deeper and do some investigating into, again, go look through the likes, go look through their follower count, go look through their follower list. Who are they following? And just really take a look and decide for yourself. Again, going back to those third-party databases, a lot of times they will flag how many, they can do like a breakdown, a percentage breakdown of, this is not only where the followers are coming from in terms of whether it's by state or region or country, but it can also be like, hey, here's a section of unknown followers, and we're not sure. That's also usually a dead giveaway on the third-party apps of, this is a unknown source. We're not sure where this engagement's coming from, and that can be a clear sign of a fake follower. So, you know, there's some grassroots approach, and, you know, as we mentioned, but you don't have to be a social media expert to usually spot a fake.
Yeah. And the other thing that we look at, like everything that you just said is perfect, bang on. One other quick thing to look for too, is if it looks like they're bot responses. So keyword responses, one, I mean, if it just doesn't look normal, right? It's usually not natural.
Right. Or like just emojis. Like, usually, like if there's, you know, and I'm a big fan of replying with an emoji, but I think if you just start to see that as a consistent recurring, you know, comment section of just, you know, thumbs up or, you know, things like that. We get a lot of that on YouTube as well. That's like a big flag for it. You can just tell. And oftentimes they'll have repeating profile images. Like I'll see accounts with the same profile image three times and you're like, well, that clearly can't be right.
Right.
So again, like I said, you don't have to be a social media expert to, you know, to spot a fake. But yeah, I completely agree. The automated responses.
Yeah, I just wanted to loop back to Marina's question too. Going back to nano, so much with nano influencers, for the most part, you're going to be paying next to nothing for. When you get to the micro, you might be getting between, I don't know, it could be $5, $10 up to about $100, maybe a bit more. Yeah. But when you start going past that, yeah, you could be looking at $100 up. I mean, it could be thousands and tens of thousands when you get past that. So that's one of the reasons why I like staying in that group. Plus, you can get so many of them on board. So if I've got 20 or 30 nano influencers, hey, that could be a ton of people who trust, who engage, and I'm paying really nothing to, especially Maya Gordon.
Yes, love her.
She dropped a nugget the other day.
Ooh, what was it?
Well, I think we were talking about this the other time. But yeah, depending on the platform that you go to, she uses TikTok.
Yep.
TikTok influencers haven't got the same pay scale. They just aren't charging like on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you can go over there. You could pick up somebody that has a million followers or 2 million followers and pay really not a lot of money. They're just doing it right now for fun, or like that whole paid engagement hasn't really crossed over. And I hope it stays like that for a while, but that's one nugget that she gave the other day to, you know, check out going over to TikTok.
Oh, yeah. And I was actually just reading in preparation of this moment, Norm. of course, I was doing my research as well. I believe it was HubSpot had a great article about how to repurpose your TikTok content for Instagram Reels. And I thought that was really genius because, I mean, we've talked about this before. We've touched on it where when COVID broke, you know, pandemic and quarantine, TikTok blew up. That was like the go-to. Everyone was like, you know, the older generation was like, what are the kids talking about? Let me get into this TikTok thing. And people just started creating massive amounts of content. And I think their creativity just exploded as well. So a lot of people who weren't even trying to be influencers or content creators at the time, they kind of fell into that niche. And then that's where you're saying the pricing scales are just so skewed compared to an Instagram, because usually an influencer who is on Instagram or on YouTube, doing tutorials, demos, reviews, whatever it may be, they know what they're doing. They know that this is what they wanted to do. That was their goal. That was their objective. Whereas I think a lot of TikTok content creators just fell into it. I think they were like, hey, I like doing this, you know, whatever it may be, or I like this product, you know, we're at home, we're bored, I like this juicer or whatever you're doing. And then they had this, you know, natural organic following. And now they may be a little more novice to, you know, breaking down for pricing tiers and contractual obligations and things like that. And I think a lot of people are moving over to Instagram Reels. But TikTok is still it's still a great source for content creation, for engagement, awareness. You're breaking into a lot of new regions and demographics there. But you can always repurpose that content to your Instagram Reels as well. So don't think that, you know, it's kind of a one and done. There's a lot of options to keep that content viable on multiple platforms.
So Instagram Reels is Instagram's version of TikTok.
It's their rival. Yeah. Well, Instagram, you know, Instagram has I love them, by the way. Of course, we always have to be good to Instagram. But they have a long reputation of when another platform kind of starts taking over, they kind of swoop in and make their own. It happened with Snapchat. And now, you know, TikTok is feeling that as well. I personally still like TikTok. I will get captivated and into an hour of scrolling through TikTok and content. Instagram Reels, I think, is a bit more curated, more elaborate, more production quality behind it, whereas TikTok is a little more organic, kind of just grassroots approach, you know, run-of-the-mill people doing what they do.
Oh, got it. Now with, what was I going to say? Oh, the influencers. You want to protect yourself. And you want to protect yourself with probably an agreement that says that you can publish and you own the copyright, so you can publish it on your pages. We did fall into, I have a client that great product, put it up and got nailed. Had to take the video down because he didn't have a proper agreement. Yeah. So don't think that you can just go up there and hire the influencer, because you never know what their mindset is and what they're thinking about ownership is, or sharing content, who owns the content at the end of the day. So you want to make sure that you have an agreement that allows you or transfers over the copyright to you. So heads up. I've gone through, this is before I met you though, cause that would never have happened. Prior to meeting, oh my gosh.
Well, and, you know, Norm, it's true. You know, in my experiences as well, it is about the person too. Like even working at IMAX, and when I worked with a lot of studios, we did have a lot of influencer relations for what we did in content. And it was so funny how there was people I would reach out to, and some of them were just like, cool, I love your brand, let's do it, send over what you need. And then, of course, there's people who, you know, are negotiating. It seems like they have maybe a skewed perception of what they're after or what they want from this. You know, and it's all business. It's really, mm-hmm. It comes down to it's business. You can't fault anyone for that. But yeah, you're going to get a wide range of people who are either just like, let's do it, let's collab, you're awesome, or, well, let's discuss, where's my lawyer? You know? So you have to be prepared for that, and you have to make sure that you're, you know, covering your bases and making sure that everything's aligned, whether that's a one-sheeter agreement or, a 10-page contract that you need to have, especially depending on the size of your business. You know, again, you want to make sure whatever you're dealing with, anyone outside of, you know, outside contractual agreements, content agreements, yes, that you own the rights to things, you can repurpose when needed, that they make sure that they, you know, that you make sure they hold up their end of the bargain, that you're not getting short-sighted for anything, which is also why I do like, and I admit, I'm going back to that of like third-party databases and platforms, because they sign up for these services, they're essentially getting business through these third-party software companies or databases, and there are certain things to keep everyone accountable for what needs to be upheld for contractual obligations, content creation, things like that.
I always think of the influencer. There's another category to influencer that we started talking about, but not a lot of people, I think, understand. It's that super influencer. It's still an influencer, but we call them brand ambassadors.
Yep.
So what's the difference between, you know, just any of those influencers? They're all grouped together. When do they become that brand ambassador?
Well, shout out to Karen, our brand ambassador for Helium 10. Well, like you said, I think it's someone who really lives the brand. And essentially, it has to come naturally. I don't think it's something that can be forced, because it's just not going to come off as genuine. And that's what social media is really all about, you know, being organic, keeping it real, things like that. I think that's where a lot of large scale companies and entities and brands, that's where they find these brand ambassadors, because they're already living it through and through. I think Disney is a great example of a brand ambassadorship. These are people who are already fanatical about your brand. And I mean that in the most positive sense. These are people who want to, you know, whether they want to wear your shirts just because they use your product, because they genuinely love it. They would tell everyone about it, whether you pay them or not. And that's when I think it crosses over to brand ambassadorship, that you are a genuine advocate of the brand, love it through and through, whether someone was paying you or, you know, promoting you, things like that, you would talk about it regardless. And I think that's where it really becomes a brand ambassadorship, where I think a lot of, and even in the celebrity realm, that's where that crosses over as well. You'll see a lot of celebrities say, well, this is not an endorsement, but this is my favorite, you know, product or alcohol or, you know, whatever it may be. And that's because it's a genuine connection, a genuine resonating with the product, resonating with the audience, and they really live it through and through. And that's when they become a brand ambassador.
So dealing with a typical definition of a brand ambassador, exactly like you're talking about, but when we're working with Amazon, the micro brands can take huge advantage of brand ambassadors, like people buying the product. Think of this. You can spend no money on rebates, $3 on rebates, $15 on rebates, right, and you don't know the rebate group you're getting to. The better ones, you know, you're a lot more safe with. But still, what about a brand ambassador? Like, okay, they love your product. They'll buy your product for 15% off. They'll use their network to spread the information through their network for more sales of people in your category who love your product, that are real, and you're giving them next to nothing. Plus, what I love about brand ambassadors is they can be under contract.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For the first year or for the first 3 months, they need to post 3 times. They need to do this. They need to do that. And it's not like a typical brand ambassador sometimes when you're looking at the bigger companies, right, where they come on, they're paid. These right. people are still not paid. And Amazon sellers and e-com in general, missing the boat with what people can do with brand ambassadors.
Oh, 100%. And like, again, that's where you're saying, you know, they're not being paid, but what they are getting are exclusive deals. They're getting the heads up. They're getting the sneak peeks at new products. They're getting the unboxings, you know, they're getting the swag boxes that come to their homes, and they're giving, you know, they're giving that sneak peek. They're getting the first look at everything. And that is carrying the message through to their audiences. So that's what they're really getting out of it, if you will, or whether it's, if, you know, especially if it's not compensated, because again, they already love the brand. So that's like, you know, their Christmas. They get, oh, you know, hey, I got this first look at this product's new feature, or I got to demo this new feature for this product. That's what they're really getting out of it. They're the ones who are able to translate and be the liaison for sneak peeks, exclusives, exclusive content that they can also provide to their audiences that no one else can have, which then will translate back to you. That's a great driving force for your sales, your conversion rates, things like that. So you want to make sure that that's what they're getting out of it, is that they have this, you know, for fast track into the intel of your product and your brand.
Yeah. And it's endless content.
Endless content.
Endless.
I mean, there's so much that people can do with it. One, I mean, you know, going back to when we had rebranded for Helium 10 and we did the swag boxes and everyone got new shirts and things like that. I saw so much cool content come out of that from our big ambassador, our big, you know, influencers, and even right down to new sellers who have a smaller following, but are creating content from it. And that's what's so exciting to see is that, you know, we had people do full scale YouTube videos for us and right down to TikToks and Instagram stories and boomerangs. And, you know, that's what's so cool. And you don't, every person is going to share something different. So that's also going to generate interest to different audiences, different demographics, you know, where people are located, what their interests are. So it really just translates. And like you said, it's endless. The possibilities are, you know, infinite.
You know, Paul Barron.
I do.
It's the king of this. King. So, I mean, he really knows how to build influencer and brand ambassador networks. So get this. 2 months ago, he ended up getting, or over the last 2 months, 2,000 pictures. 2,000 pictures. Now, let's just put a price tag of $50 a picture on. That's cheap.
Right.
But you could go as high as 100, but let's just do 50. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of free public. And it's coming. The thing about it is it's coming in every day without asking.
Yep. People want to do it. Exactly. That's the beauty behind it. I love that. I love hearing that.
Amazon posts. And then, I need some videos for Amazon Live because you're building that brand community, right?
Yep.
So, hey, we've got followers now. If you can drive them back over to your brand page on Amazon, click that follow button. Well, how do you do it? Endless stream of Amazon posts. Hey, you got 20 or 30 videos. Just, hey, I need a video. And the other part to this, I know I'm taking up so much of your time by explaining
this. No, I love this. I love this.
What he did was, hey, can you feature this benefit? Can you show this?
Yep.
And it's like a press release. You can put the information in your words. You can do the exact same thing and just ask the influencer or brand ambassador, especially brand ambassadors, to do this, and they'll do it. So it's so, Paul leverages brand ambassadors so much and treats them exceptionally well, especially if they're writing content.
Yeah.
He pays. He wants to.
I love to hear that because it is, it's about relationship building too. You have to make sure that, that's a great point to make.
Yeah. And on top, and this is how crazy it is. He has events for his brand ambassadors because they feel special, you know, and he's got a whole system where, you know, that's what he does. And it's really incredible to see how his brand, in a highly competitive seasonal, I would never get involved with it. Not only does it go, it gets a bestseller badge right across almost every category you can think of. You type in his keywords. Well, you've got the Amazon.com. You've got driving back to the website. And then I think the one example he showed me had 5 articles about his product by influencers.
And you can't, that's the best thing you can have. You know, we've really, as a society, I think that's where people go to first. They, you know, yes, you can see commercials, you can see your heavily curated product photography, things like that. But that is something that is invaluable. Definitely worth it over time, definitely worth it in reception and engagement and credibility. And that is just so phenomenal to hear, Norm. And, you know, something else I wanted to point out was that you are the king of PR. And it works so hand in hand. And so I really think you have this great point of view and perception of how these two work together, these two entities, these two mediums, and how they can really dominate a business if done correctly.
If done correctly.
If done correctly. That is the key. That is
yes, key. Yes. Now, let's talk about another type of content, well, the content creator. So you've got the influencer brand ambassador, and then you've got a content creator. So what's the difference?
So a content creator is going to give you more long form content and more, I would say, entertaining content. So an influencer is going to be more lifestyle imagery, maybe a demo, maybe a tutorial. but a content creator is going to take it up a notch. It's going to be like a mini commercial. This is where Instagram Reels is really valuable as well, because they are actually, Instagram is actually catering to content creators. Currently, you can't run paid ads to Instagram Reels. So really, they are rewarding content creators essentially for the content they create and how engaging it is and the amount of views it receives and engagement, things like that. So really, they're going to give you more of a long form content. It's going to be a mini commercial. They may be doing a backflip or skating or dancing or, you know, doing something dramatic or engaging or, hilarious and humorous and things like that. So really, it's almost like you're paying, I would say they're more like an actor than anything, whereas influencers are more like a model, you know, if you kind of want to take it back to some similarities and how you can make that more synonymous on social media.
Got it. So, Kels, are there any other questions?
Yes, and we are at the 45-minute mark. So if we can just like quickly like go through a couple of these questions. A couple of them we have kind of discussed a little bit. So there is a little overlap, but from Yelchin, there are different websites to find suitable influencers. Which website has the most accurate data about influencers?
I mean, that's where, what were some of the ones you said, Norm? Because I know mine are a little bit more, they're not as grassroots. They're a little pricier. You can go to HubSpot, you can go to Later Media. And then I think you had some great resources.
Yeah, BuzzSumo was 99, yep. I think it was $99 a month. You still have to, so Yelchin, make sure that you look at like the profiles. They might look good, but make sure they're not fake. Then Thomason. And I think we have a Thomason code, like they're $6.99 a month. We've got a code for $49 a month. I think that's in the group from Dan. But anyways, you can get on that platform and you can check and you can check out all the different price points of all these people by niche, by age, by demographic. IntelliFluence is another one. There's also, if you're looking for people who are looking for work, that's going to Harrow, help a reporter out.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then Cision, but that's not for everybody. That's expensive.
That's the thing. Yeah, like it's kind of, you know, for what the line of work I do and for where I've been, it's, you know, I'm going to that, it's that medium to larger influencers. So there's going to be a pricier tier. But I think you have some great resources for kind of those grassroots micro nano influencer approaches.
Okay. And Tony, hi guys. Happy Wednesday. How can I really check out organic engagement levels of influencers since many times to use Telegram groups to comment on similar profiles?
I mean, I would say this goes back, Norm, to what we were talking about like it's not really rocket science so much if you kind of go back and look at ratio to engagement count on social followings and things like that, whether it's kind of those spam bot comments, things like that. Recurring emojis and such. I think that would be your best bet. But then as we mentioned, there are some tools you can utilize, third-party based features that will kind of flag any unknown sources for fake followership.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. And if you guys have a favorite emoji, put it in the comments. Okay. And make an emoji train in the comment section.
Kelsey, what is your favorite emoji, Kelsey?
There's a little emoji with like a monarch.
Oh, that's a good one.
He does that.
How does that look, Kels?
I like that.
Ooh. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
I had to know.
So, Dr. Kaz, regarding nano micro influencers, what type of prices guidelines do you recommend? Price for video, price for photo, etc.
Most of the time, they're free.
Yeah, oftentimes I would say free. This is where the kind of cross promotion content swap comes into play. And that goes back to also what we talked about, Norm, like relationship building. You know, reach out to them, take it offline to email or whether you want to have a call with them and see what their needs are and then work it out from there. Just, you know, don't feel like you have to have a baseline already integrated. You know, be flexible with depending on what you're looking for and what they're looking for.
Since the beginning of the year, Paul Barron has received 6,000 images of his product for social proof, and he has not paid one penny.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, and it looks like someone's looking to hire you from Bogdan. Can we hire Cassandra?
I better talk to the team at Helium 10 about that one.
All right, we got two more. So Oleg, he's got two questions. First one, hello, what do you think about influencer marketplaces and about their recommendations?
Like people who recommend influencers for certain products or niches. I'm guessing that's what he's referring to. I mean, overall, I think they're pretty credible because it's about their reputations as well. Like we talked about the third party databases, things like that. I would also just look for going back to social proof and seeing who people are working with, who they're gravitating towards naturally and organically on social media, and who you want to work with. Like I said, I think especially for smaller brands, things like that, it's more of a grassroots approach. You don't need really, you don't need a company kind of telling you who to look for. It's more about what you would like to use and utilize for your brand.
Okay.
Here's a tip too. Don't forget to use Google. So let's say that you're in the bully stick category and you want to go to Purina and you find, or a blog site, and you saw a really great influencer. What you do is you just put in related colon and the blog site, and it'll pull up all the different other bloggers that are related to that that type of article. And the other thing that you can look at too are, and these, you can find them on the internet, but they're all sorts of search operators or just search strings that you can use, like site colon instagram.com. And then you might put the word advertising in there. So that's somebody that has the word advertising in their profile. Then this is great. Then you put quotations, Instagram photos and videos, end quotation. And that'll give you everybody who wants to do photos and videos on Instagram for your specific niche. You have to put in bully sticks or whatever you're looking for, but that'll do. And you can even do it, do a geo-targeted search at the end in San Diego.
Yep.
So, yeah. So don't forget about that. You don't have to spend a lot of money to find influencers.
Exactly. Great point, Norm.
Thank you.
Okay. And our very last question, how much are influencers and when do you recommend to enlarge the number of influencers? So I'm guessing like when you start, but I think you mentioned that already.
I would say, you know, influencers grow with your brand. So when you're a smaller brand, I would reach out to more nano influencers. If you can get a micro influencer, a medium tier, you know, thought leader or influencer, that'd be great to kind of hopefully push you over the line there. But as you grow, your influencers should grow. You know, when you get to Kylie Jenner status, you know you've made it.
Right. And, you know, you said something at the very beginning, too, about consistency. So you can go and target all the influencers that you want. But if your brand sucks or your product does, they're not going to be interested. If you have a great product, they're going to want to get involved with you. And it's not just a great Amazon listing. Like you said, website's got to be consistent. Social media's got to be consistent. So make sure you do that. It doesn't usually take that much to do. It's just being consistent.
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of brand ambassador inquiries, too. And then when I go back and look at their profile, I'm just like, you don't have an image. There's nothing for me to. It looks shady, you know, and you're like, no, thank you. But then you get some credible ones, and that's who I'm going to, you know, work with more. Is someone who has, you know, their content laid out, has their brand on point, because that will ultimately leverage my own brand, you know?
Is there a chance that you'll work with me?
We'll talk.
Wait, okay, we'll talk. All right. I know that you have to go very soon. So last question is, are there any action steps that you feel we can cover very quickly that people should do?
I actually just loved what you just said about geotagging. I think looking for people in your region and going through those Instagram geotags is a huge benefit. There's also so many articles, whether it's on BuzzFeed. There's a lot of places that can talk to you about where the most, you know, Instagram worthy spots are. And that's where you're also going to find a lot of content creators. Mm. So don't be afraid to kind of, whether it's you or you have a VA doing this, an assistant, a creative specialist, social media manager, definitely start looking through those geotags and look for those hotspots, those really cool locations where people take photos and videos and curate their content at, whether it's, you know, it's not just about looking at, you know, Miami, it's about looking at the Getty, you know, in Los Angeles, and finding those influencers that have gone there and post content from there. Cause that's a great resource that I think people don't think about initially. So that's a really great untapped resource. And, you know, even right now we're talking about the election. Instagram recently hid all recent posts of hashtags just because they didn't want false information out there, but geotags are still viable. So, you know, you never know. So it's just kind of one of those things. It's kind of a good reliable source that you can always go back to.
I can't believe it's been about an hour.
I know. I've been doing it for two more hours, three more hours.
Well, next time.
Dinner with Norm.
All right, there we go. We'll do dinner with Norm.
Lunch, dinner, appetizers.
Cassandra, you're amazing. Thank you for coming on again. And I believe Cassandra's going to be joining us once a month to share her social media secrets.
Oh yeah, we'll come up with a cool topic for next time too. So it'll be December, right before the holidays.
Right, of course. Yeah, there we go.
We'll have some fun stuff. We'll have some fun stuff.
Okay, so thank you so much. How do people get a hold of you?
Helium 10. Wait, or is there... So definitely helium10.com, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We have our Facebook groups, and you can find me on Instagram, Cassandra_Craven, at Helium10 Software. We're everywhere. So check us out. And definitely, if you want to become an ambassador, let me know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Cassandra. Until next time.
Thank you. Mwah.
See you. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And we're going to be posting all episodes on Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. They're going to be whole episodes as well as video clips, as well as other content. Kelsey.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, son.
Great episode. All right. So if you have any questions, if you're thinking like, oh, shoot, I forgot to ask my question, you can go over to our brand new Facebook group, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and e-commerce collective. I put the link in the bios. They're right here. Go here. We have a discussion post for the post episodes. So if you have any questions, comments, captions in it, I believe Cassandra is in the group, but
I have to double check.
Yep. She is. So if you have any questions, you can post them there. Norm or Cassandra could probably help you out with something for clarification. And yeah, if you haven't yet, please like this episode. Maybe think of a friend who likes social media or is trying to be a brand ambassador, influencer. Put them in the comments. Get the word out. Share the video. It would be appreciated. Thank you, guys.
Yes, it would. Without begging, right?
Yeah.
That's the next step. We're on our knees begging.
Yeah.
But we won't go there. Anyways, we have a newsletter. It came out on Monday. It comes out every Monday. It doesn't suck. We have tons of content. And it's new content every month. It's not going to be static. And all it is, it helps online sellers become better online sellers. That's it. Next in a couple days. Okay. So on Friday, we've got Kevin King coming on again for his monthly update. And that's going to be pretty interesting. So, join us there for our November I can't believe it's November. Our November Q&A. And I think that's it.
That's it.
So join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And what is this? The next 2 weeks are including special Thursday episodes?
No. Just ignore that.
Kelsey.
Paste.
What's that? Get a little copy slip paste. There. I was going, do you know something I don't know? Anyways, I got to read this thing. And I don't do this without a teleprompter. So anyway, so we'll see everybody next week or next Friday, hopefully, and enjoy the rest of the day. Lunch with the